Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Do you know what your purpose is? Think about that question for just a moment. Do you know, like ironclad, you know what your purpose in this life, with your life in this world, what is your purpose? Because purpose is a very, very powerful concept. One of the questions that purpose answers with great clarity is, who am I? Right, that is a common question that everyone asks at different times. And if you are clear on your purpose and why you exist, then you can answer that question pretty easily. Who am I? When you're clear on your purpose, it actually allows you to say yes to the very best things that will allow you to step into and stay in your purpose. The other thing when purpose is clear is it'll actually give you the ability to say no to good things that would actually distract you from your purpose, right? So we're saying yes to the best things, and we may be saying no to good things that would distract us. But the other thing that purpose will do is when you're clear on your purpose, when the storms of life show up, and they will, by the way, they actually guide you and give you comfort through those storms when you understand what your purpose is. Now, the opposite is true, too. When your purpose is unclear, you'll actually kind of feel like you're just drifting through the waters of life. You know, you're just getting pushed around wherever the wind blows or the waves may be taking you. And you're kind of like, I guess this works for now or whatever. When you're not clear on your purpose, every problem feels like a hurricane that is beating you down. And the winds are pressing at you. And you're wondering if you're going to survive this moment in your life. And so you have to understand that purpose is a very, very powerful concept. And if you can answer that with clarity, man, that is a big part of what it means to walk through life. Now, here's what I want to tell you. You do not have to go out and create your own purpose in life. You're not designed to do that. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you know, others, this will be the first time you've ever heard this. God has purpose for your life. And in fact, God has purpose for every single human being, and he had it set for you before you were ever created. In fact, when the very first human beings were created, Adam and Eve, he already had purpose baked into their creation. So you don't have to go out and create your own purpose. Just the opposite. What we need to do is actually go to God to discover our purpose and who he has created us to be. Now, that's true for the individual, but it's also true for the church. It's true for Lighthouse Community. You realize that God has a purpose for our church. And in the same way that a purpose guides an individual, the purpose also guides our church family. The purpose helps us stay focused on who we are and what we do. The purpose of this church helps us to be able to say no to good things that may be distraction and yes to the things that we know that God has called us to. It guides us throughout challenges that we face as a church family without being overwhelmed in the process, especially when we're in new territory that we've never been before and we're not entirely sure how to navigate that. Purpose leads us. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to help you discover God's purpose for your life and at the same time help reveal God's purpose for our church family right here at Lighthouse Community. So as Pastor Matt mentioned, if you brought a Bible with you, you can open up to Matthew 14. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. You can click over there on your device. While you're going to Matthew 14, I want to welcome you. If we haven't met yet, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Really, really glad that you've joined us. What a great morning to be with us and celebrating baptisms and what God is doing in our church family. Just absolutely incredible and awesome. It's been really, really good. I do want to welcome everybody at Lighthouse Online. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. Wherever you're joining from, whether you're here in Hancock County or maybe you're somewhere else, we're so glad you're part of the family. Make sure you head to lighthousecommunity.online.church and you're going to find all the resources you need there. There's a great community that's meeting as we speak, connecting with each other and praying for one another. And then I do want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're here just checking out Lighthouse or maybe you were invited because a friend or family member was getting baptized today. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. You could have been anywhere, and you're here with us. Means the absolute world to us. And so, family, could we take a moment and just welcome all of our guests in the house and everybody joining at Lighthouse Online? Let them know you're glad you're here today. Okay. So we are continuing in a series, Jesus is Enough, but the other thing that's happening is we're doing what we call a family meeting. We do this just a couple times a year. We want to update the family on some things that are going on. So we're going to teach through scriptures, and then at different points, we'll talk about some things that are happening in the church family, and there will be a moment, too, for members to engage in some decision-making as well. But it's going to be a great, great morning. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 22, and here's what it says. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Oh, we jumped some scriptures. Okay, we're going to fill in. Well, there's a whole moment here where I'm going to tell you what happened, okay? There's a whole moment here where Peter's like, "Lord, if it's you, call me out to you, to walk out to you. Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I want to talk about purpose for just a moment, because when I've read this account again and again and again getting ready for this weekend, I've read it multiple times through my walk with my own walk with Jesus, and I got to tell you, one of the things that came so clear when I was studying and reading this time through is the amount of intentionality and purpose that is baked into this moment. Okay, this is not some haphazard thing that just happened to take place and Jesus took advantage of it. What seems clear to me is that Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him on purpose. There was intentionality in that. Jesus walked on water on purpose, right? It wasn't just a like, "Hey, look what I can do," right? Like, that is not what's happening here. Jesus invited Peter out of the boat on purpose. Right? All of this has great intentionality baked into this whole moment. And the more I began to see that, the more this became clear. Why? Why did Jesus do all of this on purpose and with intentionality? Well, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he's God. Jesus wanted his disciples to see Peter follow him out onto the water. And Jesus wanted his disciples to believe that this whole moment was a setup for this. Jesus' purpose is still the same today for you as an individual and for us as a church. It's still the same. It hasn't changed. All these things are still true. And so we're going to walk through three things that Jesus wants for us. Here's the first one. Jesus wants you to know that he is God. He wants you to know that he is God, right? Jesus wasn't shy about this, right? This was something, he knew this about himself. He made this clear about himself in his ministry to varying degrees. To some people, he'd be quiet about it, but to others, he was very, very clear about it. Look at a couple of passages. There's a moment where Jesus is with his disciples. In John chapter 14, it says this, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the..." If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. That's what Jesus is saying. I am God in the flesh. So clear with his disciples. You know, if you back up from John chapter 14, there's a moment in John chapter 8 where Jesus is explaining some of who he is to a group of people. And here's what he says in John chapter 8, verse 58. He says, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now, some of you who have read the Old Testament before will remember that in Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, "Who am I supposed to tell Pharaoh that sent me?" And what is God's reply? "You tell him I am sent you." That's who. You tell him Yahweh sent you. Now, Jesus uses that in this conversation with a group of people. And you might go, "Oh, Fritz, you're like, you know, you're taking this out of context. You're getting overexcited about Jesus using the words I am." Not really. If you read verse 59, here's what it says. That people bent over, picked up rocks, and planned to kill him because he was making himself equal with God. They knew what he was saying, and he said it on purpose. Jesus wants you to know that he is God. Listen, yes, Jesus is an amazing teacher. Yes, Jesus is a miracle worker. Yes, Jesus has great compassion for people, and it's remarkable. But more than any of that, he is God. And you have to understand that truth at the essence of who he is. Because if you pull the fact out that Jesus is God and you take that away, everything else goes with it. This is the central piece. And what I want to tell you at Lighthouse Community, we want you to know that Jesus is God more than anything. Jesus is God. This is the reason we offer teaching on Sunday mornings. It's the reason we offer small groups, children's and student ministries. We offer Lighthouse Online, right? All of these things and more is specifically designed to help you discover the truth that Jesus is God, because we want absolutely everybody to know that Jesus is God. When you begin to understand that, this is the beginning to cross into genuine faith that begins to change your life from the inside out. Now, if you've walked through this building before, you'll notice that out in the welcome area, there's a portion on our wall that has a map of Hancock County, and then next to it are the words for the 50,000. Some of you might be wondering, what is all that about? Well, to our estimation, we believe that there are over 50,000 people right here in Hancock County who are living every single day without a genuine saving relationship through Jesus Christ, right? 50,000. I think that number's low, actually, right? The number's actually higher than that in my own estimation, but that's a good number to start with and start talking about. And so for us, when we think about that, it is our privilege to be able to share the good news that Jesus is God and that he has done all the work necessary for people to enter into a saving relationship with him, right? And be connected with the Father through faith in him. That's what the 50,000 is for. And so we're just trying to do that one person at a time, one life at a time. And what I'd like you to do is just take a look at this video of a couple of people who their lives are being shaped right now by what's happening here in our church family. Take a look at this.
I am Riley Miller, and this is my wife, Ashley Miller. And we have been coming to the Lighthouse for about a year now. For two people that have grown up in the church, it can be very easy to get complacent, especially when the expectation is every Sunday we go to church. It becomes more habitual than a relationship. For the first 6 months or a year of our marriage, we really didn't go to church much at all. And we talked about it almost every week. We wanted to get a good foundation for our faith together and our relationship with Christ together. And this is the one that we landed on.
When we decided on Lighthouse, it was, okay, if we're gonna be here, we're gonna be here. So let's just commit. And so by joining different groups and serving, just made it that much easier to get connected and to feel like this was where we were supposed to be at. We were looking for a place that we felt God was actually moving rather than just a place that we felt comfortable. Being able to serve the sermons, the worship, kind of all of it together, we feel God moving in our life on Sunday mornings, but then also throughout the week. It was easy to find ways to get involved, and so co-leading was one of those. We were looking for an opportunity to serve that didn't just happen on Sunday mornings. On Monday nights is when we do our groups, and we knew for sure that was a night that we could contribute as co-leaders, and so we were excited to serve in that way.
It has really helped me to get in touch with my desire to help others. Once we decided to step into a leadership or a serving role, it really did help us fit in with the community a little bit more and meet some new people that we were able to connect with.
Nailed it.
Yeah. No, that's right. If you get a chance to meet Riley and Ashley, really awesome people, but they'll be able to tell you more about what God's doing in their life and how he's changing them. And it really starts with this whole idea that Jesus is God. Now, our fiscal year starts out in October. So October 1 is when kind of we reset all of our numbers. Why October? Yeah. Since October of 2025, so that's just a few months we've been in this, I want to tell you a couple of numbers here. So this is just the last, 4 or 5 months. We know of at least 34 people who have said yes to Jesus for the first time. 17 have been baptized. Over 350 adults are in small groups. Kids are averaging over 130, and 75 teenagers call Lighthouse Community home right now, which is, just absolutely incredible what God is doing. Now, to hear those numbers is awesome, and at the same time, there are 50,000 people in our county. You don't have to drive to some major city. They're right here in Hancock County who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And so we recognize that that's what we do, guys. That's our purpose. Why? Because that's what God has called us to do. And that's what I love about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. In fact, let's do this. Let's read this verse out loud together, starting with, "The Lord isn't slow." By the way, the context of this is Peter's going, listen, Jesus is going to come back. It's going to happen. And when he comes back, man, that's where everything, it just ends, right? Like time and space and the new heaven and the new earth, right? All that begins to go into motion. And so that's the context of this passage. And so people are going, well, if he's coming back, why hasn't he come back yet, right? He should be here already. This is what Peter says. Let's read this out loud. Are you ready? Go. "The Lord isn't slow to do what he promised, as some people think. Rather, he is patient for your sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to him and change the way they think and act." He's not slow. He's patient. Why? Because he's giving more people time to hear the good news of Jesus and say yes to him, right? He's kind. He's merciful. He's patient. What we read as slowness is actually deep, deep kindness and generosity. And so we want to help more people find joy and true purpose through faith in Christ. So Jesus wants you to know that he's God. Here's the second thing that this purpose is still the same. Jesus wants you to follow him. Same way, if Peter's stepping out of the boat and following Jesus, he wants you to follow him as well. You know, Peter, I got to be just really transparent with you guys for a second. Peter gets a really bad rap for a number of his failures, for a number of the silly things that he says that are recorded in Scripture. And some of those he has earned. I will give that to you. But here's what I want to tell you about this account. He's the only one of the 12 that got out of the boat. He's the only one who said, "Jesus, if it's you, call me out to you. And I think you have the power to cause me to do the exact same thing that you're doing," right? By the way, when he starts sinking, remember he takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts focusing on the wind and the waves and the storm and all that's going on. It says he starts sinking. Who's the first person he cries out to? Jesus. Jesus, save me. For all the things that Peter gets wrong, I got to tell you, this seems pretty right, right? He cried out to the only one who could save him. That is what faith looks like. It's listening for Jesus' voice and trusting him enough to follow him. Now, following him typically involves risk and change, right? If you're gonna walk with Jesus, if you're gonna step out in faith, man, it just involves risk and change. And over the last couple of years at Lighthouse Community, if you've been a part of our family, you know that we've taken some steps of risk and change because we have sensed God leading us. when we started Lighthouse Community in the first place, about 10 years ago. There was risk. There was change involved. When we purchased this property, 11 acres on County Road 99, there was risk involved with that. When we set out to build this new building, because we had already overwhelmingly outgrown a building that Youth for Christ had been so generous towards us with for all of those years, that was a step of risk and a step of change. Welcoming hundreds of new people into our family to discover more about who Jesus is, there's risk and change involved in all of that. Now, what some of you may not realize because you're newer to Lighthouse Community is that our church family literally has doubled since we have moved into our new home right here. Right? We were averaging right around 300 at 224. We are now typically over 600 just on one Sunday morning. Right? That's not even the whole family. That's just who's here on one Sunday morning. Now, not only have we doubled during that time, we have added one part-time staff member in the time period that our church has doubled, okay? One part-time staff member. Our staff team has absolutely crushed it over the last 15 months. And can we just say thank you to this? I mean, this is a remarkable team of people. We are blessed to have these leaders in our church family, and they have done an awesome, awesome job. At the same time, it's also time for us to look at adding some leaders to our mix to be able to support and lead our awesome and amazing volunteers. So that's one thing to be aware of. There's another thing I want you to know, another change that's coming to our church. One of those changes actually centers around one of our pastors, Matt Smith. Matt Smith is actually going to be transitioning out of his role as a pastor over our Lighthouse groups, and he's going to be transitioning into a role as an elder in our church family, okay? So, we're pretty excited about that. That's a good thing. So he's stepping out of our staff team, but he's stepping into a leadership team. Now, for some of you, you might go, what do you like hit that when you get a certain birthday and now you're like an elder? Is that how that works? No. An elder is a role in our church. They are a spiritual leader over our church. And so I serve as one of our elders. Larry Sewell serves as one of our elders. And then we work in really close partnership with Ben Till and Marty Cotter, who are elders at Bluffton Community. And so the four of us meet routinely to talk about the direction of our church, to shepherd our church, to pray, to discern the scriptures and what God is saying to us. And so Matt is moving into that role. Now, Matt's going to be staying connected to groups through a coaching role. He's been on staff with us since 2019. I don't know if you knew that. But man, we are so thankful for him and his family, their commitment to the gospel here, their commitment to small groups. Man, we are so grateful and really excited about this next season that God has for you in our church family. And so some of you are asking the question, okay, well then what about groups? What's going to happen with groups? Well, after prayer and discussion among our leadership, we are really excited to invite Lance Ray into a new role and a new position. So we're inviting him to transition from serving as a part-time director of Lighthouse Online to a full-time pastoral role overseeing Lighthouse Online and Lighthouse groups. And so we're really excited about Lance stepping into that. A lot of you guys got to hear him teach last week. This guy is solid. Over the last year and a half, God has used Lance to move Lighthouse Online from being a watch ministry. This is just a legitimate platform for ministry. I don't know if you guys realize this, but every week, friendships are being built through Lighthouse Online. People are being prayed for in Lighthouse Online. We have had people come to faith through Lighthouse Online, start coming here in person, and get baptized in this tank right here. This is like a real legitimate ministry. And so we really look forward to what God's going to do through him in this new role. And so those are a couple of changes that are coming. And here's what's happening. Matt and Lance, they're getting out of the boat, man. They're getting out of the boat and they're following where Jesus is asking them to go. And we're pretty excited about that. With that, we've got a couple other things we want to talk about in regards to our church family. And so I'm going to ask right now, I don't know if we'll be able to use this for much longer, but Lighthouse Community's favorite elder, Larry Sewell. So you guys welcome up Larry this morning.
Well, good morning. As Fritz said, we talk about kind of the family business twice a year, and this is, happens to be that Sunday. So if you're visiting today, this is a little bit unusual. But nonetheless, this is a financial report. As Fritz mentioned, our fiscal year ends at the end of March. And so in April, we'll send a detailed financial statement out to all the members of the church. Today, I'm just going to do kind of a flyby, kind of a top-level view of what's going on. The first number I'd like to talk about is 380. 380, a big number. That is the number of people who made donations to Lighthouse Community in the last year. That's a crazy number. 300 people have financially supported the church over the last year. We want to thank those people because of the continuous generosity. What we do here is empowered by the gifts of the people, and without the volunteers of the church and those financially supporting the church, Lighthouse wouldn't exist. We're a volunteer organization primarily. We want to say thank you once again to the people who support the Lighthouse Ministries. The second thing I'd say is that our general fund balance is sound. We are very close to our goal of having 2 months' worth of budgeted expenses in the bank at all times. And so we're real close to that number, and that again shows the generosity of the people, but it also shows the careful stewardship of the staff. I think they're too busy to actually spend money. I think that's what's really going on. But they're very, very careful spending the money, knowing that as money is not spent for normal budgeted purposes, that can be saved for ministry initiatives of the future. The third thing I'd say is this: our current loan balance on this facility is $1,507,000. Okay, not 5 million. Actually, purchasing the land, building the building, all the furnishings, all of that was about $5.4 million. And so you can see the generosity. If we're at $1.5 million, but we started at $5.4 million, there's been a tremendous amount of money given to this building. Now, you might say, if you've been part of Lighthouse, I remember when we closed on the loan that it was $1.6 million. So why is it almost $100,000 less now? Well, there's two reasons for that. The first is just like a home mortgage. Each month you make a payment, and part of that goes to pay down the principal of the loan, so it reduces the amount that's owed. So that's part of the picture. But the other part of the picture is this. Two members of our church, families in our church, gave large gifts in the last little while to prepay against our mortgage. And so the $65,000 that's been prepaid against our mortgage actually will reduce our total cost, total payments that we have to make by $155,000 over the life of the loan, because we'll spend far less interest over the life of the loan. And not only that, that $65,000 payment now will reduce the term of the loan by 18 months. We'll pay the building off sooner. One of those donors actually has a vision, he told me, for prepayment of the loan, and he's actually making a monthly payment on top of his normal giving that we're putting right against the loan each month. And so that number will continue to come down faster than our normal payments. This church is filled with generous people. 380 people is a crazy number. The next thing I'd like to mention is the Fill the House Fund. Remember, that was the fund that we had the fundraising last fall to build out this church. All the things that had to be, you know, chairs and children's equipment, all the things that had to go into this building. Late last year in December, another large gift came in that will allow us to kind of finish all of the projects on the Fill the House need. And this spring, we'll be putting out an outbuilding, a storage building for mowers and that kind of stuff, and that'll be happening right in the spring. There's still a few other small items going on, and all those things should be completed here within the next couple months. And the last item I would mention is that the elders have asked the office staff to open a new account in our financial statement. It is called the Lighthouse Ministry Expansion Fund. That fund is now open for giving. The elders see the same thing that everyone here on Sunday morning sees, and that is that the church is growing very rapidly. We see that. We also see ministry opportunities expanding available for the church to participate with. Pastor Fritz is talking about the vision of the church within the sermon today, and we see that so clearly. A Lighthouse donor has stepped in to kind of put seed capital into that, a little over $50,000, and that new fund is now open for us to start thinking about future ministry, the bigger picture ministry ideas where God may be leading us. The current thinking is that the Lighthouse Ministry Expansion Fund will be the home for any money that comes in the general fund that's not needed for ministry expenses in the general fund. We'll just continue transferring to that fund like we did before we moved to this building to save that capital for future ministry expansion. Things like planting new churches and a potential building expansion, those kind of things are the kind of expenses that we'll fund from that account. So a few final comments. Our six-month statements will come out in April. You can expect the staff to continue to be very careful about how we spend money at Lighthouse as we plan for the future. We are suggesting that those general fund donations will be saved rather than spent for, rather than just spending more money for operations, we'll actually continue to save thinking about the future of ministry. And finally, we can be grateful as a church that the people of Lighthouse are so generous. They're generous with their time and volunteering. They're generous with their finances. All of that points to the generosity of God that we recognize in our lives. And so we're thankful. Now I'll turn it back over. No, we want to do the annual meeting. Okay. Yeah, there's one other thing we need to talk about. There are a couple items to vote on as members of the church. If you are a member, you could have voted online, and those votes count. But also, if you've not voted online, you can vote today on the paper ballot and just place that in the offering at the end of the service. There are two items on that ballot. The first is an elder recommendation to confirm Eric Gadsky to the office of deacon. I'm not sure if Eric's in this service or he'll be in the next service. Don't see Eric. He's probably going to be in the 11-11. And then secondly, affirmation of the elder request to increase our budget by $50,000 for the current year. That's primarily focused on position, salary, and personnel changes. That will increase our total budget to $850,000 for the year. Definitely necessary steps as the church has grown so remarkably since last year. We're grateful for the Lighthouse family. We're going to turn it back over to Fritz.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, and Larry corrected me. It's an outbuilding, not an outhouse. So, or a she shed. I think that was the other one that had come out. So, really clear. I want to say thank you to our membership for seeing the vision and helping us move in that direction. So, here's the last thing that Jesus wants. It's not the last thing. The last thing we're going to talk about today. He wants you to know that he's God. He wants you to follow him, and he wants you to believe. You might not notice this, but in that account, it says that after Matthew and Jesus got back into the boat, after Peter and Jesus got back into the boat, Matthew records that the disciples in the boat worshiped Jesus. That was the response. They saw, they've been hearing Jesus teach, they've been seeing his miracles, they just saw him feed probably well over 15,000 people, and now he's walking on water, and the response is to worship Jesus. Now, for you and me, this seems like commonplace. Like, okay, yeah, big deal. We worship Jesus. Here's what you might not understand. Every one of those disciples are Jewish, and something you need to understand about the Jewish culture and Jewish people is Jewish people don't worship humans. That is a clear violation of what they believe and what is true from the scriptures. They do not worship other created beings or things, not humans. And yet they're worshiping Jesus. What does that say about what they believed about Jesus in that moment? They knew that he was God. Here's the second thing. Jesus didn't stop them. He didn't say, no, 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 guys, you're taking this too far. I'm just a great teacher. I'm just a miracle worker. I'm just a humanitarian. No, he welcomed them. This worship is it's probably not singing and clapping and hand raising and stomping and things along those lines, but what this worship is a deep, deep realization and conviction that Jesus really was the Son of God. was locked in their mind and it was locked in their hearts. Jesus wants you to believe. That is the only way to new life, and it's the only way to eternal life. There's no other way. Right? This is one of the things that John records in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God loved the world this way. He gave his only son that everyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Now, this is belief when we're talking about this. This is far more than simply mentally agreeing to these truths, right? What Jesus said right before this, he goes, listen, this is like getting a whole new life. If you read just ahead in this chapter, he's talking to a religious leader and he goes, listen, if you want to step into new life, you know what it's like? It's so new, it's like being born again. That's what it looks like. It's the difference between remodeling your life versus a total rebuild from the bottom up. Jesus did not come to slap a coat of paint on your life and make it look a little bit better. He came to tear down everything that I had built up before that had nothing to do with him and completely rebuild it from the ground up. That's what it looks like to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He wants you to believe in him. And so for me, that begs the question, what does belief look like? How do we believe? Because I think we hear that quite often. The church talks about that very often. How do we believe? I want to walk you through that very, very quickly and simply. The first is to hear. If you're going to believe, it starts with hearing. This is what Romans chapter 10, verse 7 says, right? In fact, let's do this. Let's read this one out loud as well. Excuse me, 10, verse 17. Starting with, so faith comes. Are you ready? Go. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Jesus, okay? When you are hearing truth, it's simply by being here, simply by showing up to your Lighthouse group, you are on the journey towards belief because each week you're hearing the good news of Jesus, that he lived for you, that he died for you, that he rose from the dead for you so that you could have new life. Here's what you have to understand. In order to believe, you have to have substance to your faith. It's not just believing really, really hard. What are you believing in? We're believing in the content and the truth of the scripture and in the person of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have substance, you have truth to believe in, then your faith is founded on something else that's going to fade and disintegrate at some point. So you got to start with hearing. So you're encountering the truth is the first step, but it never just stops at knowing content that's always meant to lead you to a decision, and that decision is a changed mind. That's the second aspect of belief. It's a changed mind. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says this, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away." That word repent, let me tell you what that means. It's a very simple definition. Repent literally means this: to change your mind. And so what Peter was saying here in Acts chapter 3 is he's saying, listen, change your mind about the way you live. Move away from trusting in the idea that you can lead your life by yourself on your own and everything will be just fine. And you're going to shift to believing that you really do need Jesus' leadership over every area of your life. That's the change of mind. That's repentance. It's turning away from sin, and it's turning to God in absolutely everything. It's intentionally resisting yourself and intentionally trusting God again and again and again. And so you've got to change your mind. And all of that leads to your decision, right? There's got to be a decision. By the way, the Holy Spirit is leading all throughout this moment, right? He's opening our eyes to truth from Scripture. He's opening our hearts and our minds to receive that. He's helping us to see the difference between sin and holiness and walking with God. And that always leads to a decision. And the decision is this, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, right? And I got to tell you this. The resurrection is the central component to saving faith. That is it. That's where it is. That is a crossover. In fact, every time, do me a favor, sometime just read through the book of Acts, and every time somebody's teaching, every time somebody's preaching, see when the moment when the opposition or the protest or the riot breaks out. It never breaks out when they're talking about the miracles of Jesus. It never breaks out when it talks about a teaching in the Old Testament. Every time something breaks out, it's when the resurrection of Jesus Christ is talked about and said, that is the central moment that Christianity hangs on. You have to go through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to get to genuine faith. If you dance all around that, you're playing religion, right? 1 Corinthians 15, take a look at that this week as well. Just read the Bible, right? Let's just go there, okay? That's a good idea. And so what happens is it results as an internal and externally consistent life. You believe that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and that matches your desire to follow him. That is what we call the first yes to Jesus' leadership in your life. That you would say yes to him as your leader and your forgiver, and then there are all these other yeses that come on the back of that. Yes is like baptism. Yes is like reading the scripture. Yes is like prayer. Yes is like serving. Yes is like forgiving somebody who hasn't asked for it and doesn't seem like they deserve it or would be thankful for it, right? All of these, the whole rest of our existence, we're simply saying yes to Jesus' leadership in our lives. Jesus wants you to know that he's God, he wants you to follow him, and he wants you to believe in him. When that happens, take a look at the result that takes place from that. Not only is your life changed, but it starts to affect others too. When the disciples had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him, and he begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. When you encounter the love of Christ, it begins to lead you to cause others to discover the love of Christ. Jesus purposefully led the disciples to this miracle of walking on water so that they would believe, but it was never intended to just stop there and that they would believe and then everything would be fine. It moves on to keep helping others meet Jesus. Now, as a family, Lighthouse Community, we've landed at County Road 99, but I got to tell you this, we haven't landed here to just enjoy the view and hang out. There's a crowd, 50,000 plus, who are waiting to meet and to hear about Jesus. And so, as we're looking forward as a church, Lighthouse groups, we're planning to double down on those like ever before, because as we're growing larger, we have to find ways to grow smaller. And so we're creating communities of clear truth and communities of healing. But we also know for an area that has 50,000 people who are separated from God, here's the question: what one church, what one location can meet the need of 50,000 people? No one location can do that. So as we're praying, as we're discerning God, we recognize that on the horizon for Lighthouse Community are additional New Testament churches right here in our city, right here in Hancock County. And we think God is priming us to be some of the people who will lead that. There are people in this room. There are some who are joining online. God is putting a dream in you to maybe start a small group, to lead a launch team, to see what God might do to start an additional New Testament church right here in our region. Because there are more people who need what God has to offer, right? It's helping the 50,000. Now, I want to put a practical ask in front of this whole family, and it's this, that each one of us would ask Jesus how he wants to use your life to serve others this season. That's the question. Jesus, how do you want to use my life to serve others in this next season of my life? Some of you are already in, and that's awesome. And maybe God's leading you in different ways, and that's fine. And for some who are in this room and some who are joining online, what it is time for you is it's actually time for you to get out of the boat. It's time for you to get out of the boat and to go where Jesus is leading and follow him, right? And take a risk and make a change. And if I could give a suggestion, here's what I want to tell you. Lighthouse Kids is absolutely exploding right now. Here's the current layout. And in fact, that purple room, which is the students' room, has just been starting being used 2 weeks ago. They went from 4 classrooms, because this is growing so wildly in the last year, they now have to move to 8 classrooms. And so this, all the classrooms are being changed and adjusted, and the big one there on the end is actually a really thoughtful move where they're going to be able to shift and move those classrooms to deal with the sizes and the adjustments that are going on. And so I want to ask you to consider joining a next-gen team. That you would join Lighthouse Kids. They'd be on your radar. You would consider that. By the way, that's the next step on your connection card. To just say, hey, help me find out more about serving with Next Gen. That's Lighthouse Kids or that's Lighthouse Students. Because both of those ministries are absolutely busting right now. And here's what you got to know. Kids and students aren't just the future of our church. They are the mission field right now. Most people, when they come to faith, they make a decision between the ages of 4 to 14. And here's where the stats get crazy, that if somebody does not make a decision between the ages of 4 to 14, if they don't make a decision to say yes to Jesus Christ by the time they're 18, there is an 85% chance that they may never will. This becomes one of the most central times. And here's what I love to think about. There are kids right now who are hearing about the love of Jesus Christ, and their lives are being transformed. And all the things, so I didn't come to Jesus until later in my life, right? I'm in that minority. All of these horrible, bad, self-centered decisions that I went headfirst into, a lot of these kids are going to avoid. Why? Because they're walking with Jesus now at 8 years old, 10 years old. That's my story, my wife's story. She came to faith at 8 years old, and then she just kept walking with him for the rest of her life. We always talk about that. She's like, your story's so much better. Like, you did all this bad stuff and whatever, and then you came to Jesus. And I'm like, that's not. So that. Listen, here's what I told honestly. I said, I would rather have your story than my story. I said, because you met him when you were 8 years old, and then you just fell in love with him, and you never left, and he never left you. I said, I had to go down to these horrible, horrible places before I began to realize there's got to be something better than what I'm doing. And here's the point. Whether you come to faith at 8, come to faith at 27, come to faith at 50, whatever, who's the hero? Not you. It's not me. It's Jesus. This is all about Jesus. Listen, we're Lighthouse Community. We don't just exist for ourselves. We exist for the Lord. We exist for the 50,000. Guys, the adventure's just beginning. Let's go. Let's do it. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close with the same question every weekend. And the question is this. Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him and what he's saying. God, I'm praying for two things. First off, I'm praying that there are some friends in this room, some who are online, who you are casting a vision right now for them to step into being one of the team members with Lighthouse Kids or Lighthouse Students and being a part of two really exciting ministries in our church family. And you would grant them a vision for how you would use their lives to speak into the lives of young people here in our church family, pointing them to hope in life in Jesus Christ alone. The other thing I'm praying for is I think there's some people in this room that this might be one of the first times they've clearly heard the good news of Jesus, and they're not sure what to do right now. And I'm praying that you, Holy Spirit, would let them know they've heard the good news. Now it's time for an invitation to change their mind and to make a decision to put their faith in you, to say yes to you as the leader of their lives and the forgivers of their lives for all of eternity. I pray that you would lead some people to do that and make that decision now, whether they're in the house or whether they're joining online. You are God. You've called us to follow you. And God, I believe. I'm in. I'm in. Wherever you want to go, I'll go. Whatever you want to do, I'll do. I'm in.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.